Well, in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Laurelhurst Theater and Pub, independently owned and operated, featuring modern, independent, and classic films, microbrews, pizza, salads, and wraps, located at East Burnside and 28th in Portland, 503-232-5511 or laurelhursttheater.com.
Good evening, folks, and a hearty welcome to our drive-in theater. We have a wonderful evening's entertainment lined up for you, one that will provide several hours of pleasurable relaxation and diversion for you and your family. Did you fail to dress up for tonight's show? No tie, an old shirt and slacks, a house dress? Well, don't give it a thought. We're glad you came as you are. We just want you to enjoy yourselves.
Yes, we are very happy indeed to have you here on the film show. I'm S.W. Conser, and I'm delighted to be sharing the hosting duties today with Natalie Butto, who's in town for the summer.
Thank you, Conch. In honor of the season, we're taking you out to the drive-in. In this age of streaming movies, is there still a place for movies under the stars? We and our guests think so.
I'll be taking a trip down to Newburgh, Oregon, to talk with a third-generation drive-in theater owner.
And Jen Chavez will be reporting on outdoor cinema right here in Portland. First, let's join Conch down the road at one of Oregon's oldest drive-in theaters.
This is S.W. Conser with the film show, and I'm in Newburgh, Oregon with Brian Francis, third-generation proprietor of the 99W Drive-In. And Brian, good to be here.
Yes, it's good to have you here too, and all the listeners out at KBOO. I hope that you enjoy our program tonight.
So you grew up in this place. Your grandfather started the 99W Drive-In back in 1953.
Yes, he did, 1953. Of course, I'm not that old. I'm 55, but my earliest memories would be like 101 Dalmatians or Lady and the Tramp or something. I was traumatized a bit by Goldfinger when the girl was spray painted with gold paint and passed away from that. That affected me when I was like 5 years old, growing up in a drive-in.
Well, one of the big features of the 99W is you have all of these theme nights. Like you'll have hearses show up one night. You'll have Edsels show up another night,
yes.
One, VWs.
Corvettes. Yeah,
people seem to be competing to outdo themselves with theme nights and parties.
They do. We have like a calendar that's open to any car club that wants to get in touch with us and say they're coming out.
So, you know, it's interesting to me that so many places have given up their drive-in theaters, and Oregon, which is not known for its great year-round weather, still has several drive-ins that are very popular.
Yes, it has four drive-ins. There hasn't been any closures of any of the drive-ins in Oregon since about 2003 or two. Different story in Washington.
I'm going to talk to Al here if I get a chance to switch with you.
We're going
to
switch, Al.
Okay. So now I'm talking with Al Blodgett, who's been helping take tickets here at the 99W since 1953.
Well, off and on, yes. Before that, because his grandfather was my first boss when I was about 12 years old. And that was before the drive-in theater.
So you started working the box office when you were 16. Must have been a dream come true for a teenager.
Really, my first job was helping clean the theaters and then as a projectionist. Yeah, it was and still is a good gathering place.
So what's changed about the place in 60-odd years?
Well, in the earlier years, you got into a lot more questionable stuff than you do today, just because people have changed. And like I say, it's more of a family operation. There was some wilder times out here, but not stuff you're going to put on the radio.
We're looking at a sign that says drive-in movie, removal of clothing prohibited at all times, compliments of Ringgold cinema equipment. Very nice.
Those days are gone.
And of course, the other big thing is radio sound now versus sound that came out on speakers that you hung on your window.
Oh yeah, those things would always fall off
you forgot them and you drove off with them. In fact, there's one right here.
Oh yeah.
That's one of the original speakers. In those days, all of the grounds here was wired underground with wiring for the speakers on the posts, and there were also lights, small lights on all the posts to kind of let you know where they were at.
So I'm supposed to ask you about the mermaid.
Well, in one of my other worlds, I owned a restaurant here in town.
Fish Bucket.
And we did an advertising gimmick on the roof. We had a V sign on it that had a mermaid. $15. And we used that as the outline of a sign pushing fish products. Well, the mermaid had a bare nipple. And as conservative as this town is, it set it on its ear. And we went nationwide on publicity on it.
That couldn't have hurt business.
Oh, no. I had a huge weekend. In fact, my wife at the time left town. She wanted nothing to do with all the publicity.
But you keep on coming back to the Francis family and helping them out with all the people showing up and watching movies under the stars.
Yes. And you see, my last job, I retired as the fire chief here in town. So I kind of got back into this after I retired, and I had some free time to do what I wanted, if you know what I mean.
34.
Because I bring up some things that he hasn't heard about.
34.
And that makes it fun.
Oh, yeah?
It's kind of going back to my roots.
Give me an example there.
Oh, okay. But two windstorms took the screen towers down here. And then a windstorm also took down the walls to the Twin Cinema as it was being built.
Yeah. Which screen crash?
Talking about here and the walls that came down for the Twin Cinema.
Oh, that was in 83, yeah.
And then they own the drive-in in McMinnville also, and that screen tower came down in the Columbus Day storm.
And we have color home movies of all this stuff my grandfather took. 16mm color home movies.
Should project those sometime.
He does a lot of it to Cameo downtown.
Well, Al, Blodgett, thanks so much for talking with us today.
Did I answer all your questions?
Well, and then some, you know, but feel free to suggest some more.
No, I think you're doing just fine. You're kind of driving the ship here and happy to try and help you out and make your program a little more successful.
Well, thanks again.
You bet, and thanks for coming out.
All right. Hey, Brian, should we go somewhere more out of the way or something? We could go up to the projection booth.
I actually would like to go check.
Okay, let's do that.
See if it's cooling properly. It must be cool. It must be dust-free.
So you have two theaters here. You have an indoor theater, the Cameo, and then sort of on a catwalk across the way, you have a projection booth that goes out to the outdoor screen, the drive-in screen.
Yes, we do. In downtown Newburgh is the Cameo Theater, built in 1937. And on this property, the drive-in was built in 1953. And the indoor Twin Cinema, which is still running 35mm film, built in 1983.
So we're here in the projection booth, and you have a sign that says 35mm movies, 1906 to 2013. So
that was made by a fan who makes hobby graveyards around his house, so he made me a tombstone. I can't speak Latin that well.
Requiescat in pace.
Yes, rest in pieces. Peace is what that means. But I confounded that prophecy because I still have one of the original 1953 35mm projectors hooked up, and it can run film, and that's what I do between shows, 35mm intermission reels.
Yeah, you're famous for your classic intermission short films go back, well, you know, 60 years to when the drive-in started in some cases, or maybe not so far.
Yeah, there's an accumulation of trailers and things like that. You're not supposed to really do anything much with them after the film's out of release, but we put them on screen sometimes, movie trailers, and along with the snack bar intermission material that people are familiar with, you know, like in the movie Grease, the dancing hot dog, and that kind of thing.
You got some funding to go digital, though. You do have some digital projection.
Well, I guess you could call it funding. It was actually an initiative or a project from Honda Project Drive-In, where the American Honda Corporation came up with 5 digital projectors and awarded them, you might say, to drive-ins that got the most votes in a contest.
And you were one of those. You were very popular.
Yes, we were the only drive-in west of Texas that got one of those. We were the 5th of the first 5 that they came up with. There was only 5 originally, but then after this drive-in was awarded a projector, they had 4 more projectors, and 4 more drive-ins were saved that way. So I was a lucky recipient of one of those projectors, about a $65,000 piece of machinery.
Variety
So on your website, there's all sorts of rumors you're answering about the place closing and being turned into a shopping mall. I mean, you know, the real estate around here must be getting more and more valuable, so it must be tempting to give the place up.
Well, yeah, but it's kind of in my blood to be running it as a drive-in right now. But, yeah, I suppose if I was to face the best use of the land, music, that might, one might conclude there's a better use for the land here. But we're almost on the, I mean, we were trying to get on the National Register of Historic Places, and that still might happen. Which, so we'll go out in style if that ever does happen. Strangely, I'm able to get 35 millimeter film still. I don't, there's only 4% of the industry now, according to Technicolor, who makes prints and distributes the film prints and digital prints. There's about 4% of theaters that are still running 35 millimeter now.
I didn't know any of the Hollywood studios still allowed 35 millimeter prints.
Well, they do. Some studios require an advance, front money, and they only make 35 millimeter prints on the very big, largest, you know, tent pole type titles, not all their titles. So it's limited what you can get anymore if you're going to stay running that type of projector.
Well, you got a line of cars going out to the highway, yes. So that's pretty good.
Yes, it is. Earth to Echo and Dawn of the Planet of the Apes tonight.
Well, Brian Francis, thanks for showing us at the film show, showing the KBOO listeners around the 99W drive-in.
Yes, you're very welcome.
How can our listeners find out more about the drive-in?
Well, one good way is the website, 99W.com, or Friends of the 99W on our Facebook page. The administrators are all fans of the theater. When the Keep Portland Weird website picked us as Business of the Week 2 weeks ago, we got 500 likes overnight on that site. And that was instrumental in winning the digital projector from the Honda initiative. Or drive by, drive through Newburgh and look for the marquee. Or call us on the phone at 503-538-4479. And thank you for supporting KBOO Radio.
Thank you. And now back to the studio.
Thank you, Conch. You're listening to The Film Show on KBOO Community Radio. I'm guest host Natalie Buto.
And I'm SW Conser. Today, we're visiting drive-in theaters here in the Northwest, learning about the old traditions and the new technologies.
And it turns out that Jen Chavez has uncovered some new venues for outdoor cinema right here in downtown Portland.
Well, all right. Take it away, Jen.
Projectionist, stop the show. Here's great news you ought to know. We've just got a shipment of Taste Thrill Treats, all tip-top quality and delicious eats.
So you've passed the time this past rainy winter, like many of us, in the comfort of the movie theater, basking in the warm glow of film. But now it's summer, the sun is shining, time to get outside and give movie going a break, right? Not so fast. You can get the best of both worlds at Top Down Rooftop Cinema. It's an annual screening series put on by the good folks at the Northwest Film Center, with shows every Thursday through August, not just outside, but high above the streets of downtown Portland on the rooftop of the Hotel Deluxe parking garage. And it kicks off tonight at 7 p.m. with Hitchcock's classic film Notorious. Tickets are bound to sell out for all the shows, so buying advance tickets is suggested, as is showing up by 8:30 p.m. at the latest. I stopped by the Northwest Film Center downtown to hear more about the lineup of this year's 10th annual Top Down Rooftop Cinema Series with the center's Thomas Phillipson and Nick Bruno.
Can you, first of all, set the stage for the location of the Top Down screenings? You know, it's 8, you show up to the venue to take a seat. Where are you and what do you see?
Well, the doors open at 7 o'clock up on top of the Hotel Deluxe's parking structure. So you're 5 stories up over by the stadium over there, and you have these really fantastic views all the way around downtown, including the Fremont Bridge and the West Hills and the tops of the skyscrapers of downtown. It's really beautiful up there. And we have food and snacks and adult beverages and non-adult beverages. And at 8 o'clock, that's when our band starts playing. So people are always mingling up there, having a good time. Putting their chairs up. It's a lot of fun.
And tonight's band is a local indie folk musician extraordinaire, St. Even, who's been written up a lot in Portland Mercury and also in the Willamette Week, and was recently featured in an OPB music piece.
Oh, great. So we can look forward to that this evening. This evening now, tonight's screening is Hitchcock, because every good series has a little Hitchcock, right? But, you know, perhaps more often in art house cinemas than in outdoor screenings. How did you choose Notorious as your opener tonight?
Well, the one nice thing about our outdoor series is that we can cater to an adult crowd. We don't have, it's not like the wonderful films in the parks that the park service does. We can have, you know, cocktails and beer and fun things like that. So we try to appeal to an adult crowd and also to appeal to a different sort of audience each week, so we can get different people with different tastes. So we started with the nice, good old classic Alfred Hitchcock. Everybody loves that.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're continuing next week with Bottle Rocket. That's part of your Wes's World series this summer. Can you talk a little bit about that and why you chose to tie it in with Top Down?
Absolutely. Wes's World is basically us presenting the films of Wes Anderson all the way from Bottle Rocket through Moonrise Kingdom. And we're pairing all those films with influence films, films that influenced Wes Anderson's career. We chose to have Bottle Rocket and Top Down just to have a tie-in because Top Down tends to be an audience that we don't touch a lot during the rest of the year, and so it's a way to have crossover and to try to invite people into our Wetzel Auditorium to see the rest of the series.
Nice.
There's one other reason, too. I've had Bottle Rocket on the Top Down list for a few years now because I have an exact replica of the coat that Owen Wilson wears in that I found at a thrift store years ago, and I've been dying to wear it, so I'll be wearing that. I'll be sporting that next Thursday night.
There seems to always be at least one show per year at Top Down that is tied into Thomas's wardrobe.
Oh my gosh.
Of course.
Well, we can just end the interview here. I think you've given us enough reason. That's excellent. So you talked a little bit about this a minute ago, but oftentimes you see outdoor screenings that go straight towards the winning family-friendly films, E.T., Indiana Jones, etc. Or you see the classic midnight movies like, you know, The Warriors, which granted is one of my absolute favorites of all time. But for Top Down, you have an interesting balance of both. You're saying that you go for the adult crowd, but you also have some kind of family-friendly films. And within both genres, you offer well-known films and slightly more obscure ones. For example, The 5,000 Fingers of Dr. T. You know, is your audience just an adult audience, or are you trying to get multiple audiences here? How do you select the programming in that way?
Yeah, we are trying to get multiple audiences. Nobody, it seems like, wants to go to every single Top Down, so it helps us to tap into a different audience every week. And like The 5,000 Fingers of Dr. T, I kind of assumed that people knew about that movie, but the more people I talk to, they have no idea that Dr. Seuss ever wrote and art directed a live action film in the 50s. So that's an obvious choice when you realize something like that is out there. You know, you've got to do it.
And that film is really accessible to children, sure, but at the same time, it has adult pleasures that go far beyond. I mean, to use the words that kids are using nowadays, it's really trippy. It's very strange. It's an odd duck, and a lot of fun to see. I saw it the first time, 2 a.m. in the morning on cable, and was like, what in the heck am I seeing? I'm really happy it's in the lineup this year.
Hey, it's like, am I awake right now?
Exactly.
Yeah, and you've got Edward Scissorhands as well. And then the Kings of Comedy is kind of not typically the Martin Scorsese film that people expect to see out, you know?
It's my favorite of his films.
It's terrific.
It's my favorite Robert De Niro performance as well. I really enjoy the film.
If you're just tuning into the film show, I'm speaking with Thomas Phillipson and Nick Bruno of the Northwest Film Center about their outdoor summer programming. So guys, as I've said, Top Down kicks off tonight and continues every Thursday through the end of August. But I'd also like to hear a little bit about a similar series that happened recently at Zadel Yards. Can you tell me a bit about the scene there and how that went?
Yeah, it was the second year we've done this event. It was this past weekend for the second year. And it's a partnership with Zydell Corporation. And last year they approached our executive director, Bill Foster, with the notion of using their space down underneath or at the foot of the Ross Island Bridge to do events. and we bit, because why not? We love doing this stuff, and why not touch another audience? We put together a program last year. It was moderately successful, and then they approached us again. We did it this year. Went from sort of all 80s classics, except for Enter the Dragon, and it seemed to be even more successful.
What compelled you guys to participate in specifically a drive-in? You know, was it for nostalgic value, or is there something more?
I think there's definitely a nostalgic input to our participation in Zydel Yards. All of us are old enough to have at least experienced, even in childhood or maybe in adulthood, the event of going to a drive-in with our families, and how special that setting is, while also sort of knowing on a level that it's rather odd to sit in your car. Very American, though.
Very American.
To sit in your car and watch a movie. Yeah, it was a no-brainer. We jumped on it.
Well, we knew we would get a lot of attention for it just because it's such a unique experience, and then that gives us an opportunity to talk to the audience about whatever else we do here at the Northwest Film Center, our School of Film, or the rest of the exhibition program year-round.
It provided great exposure.
Nice. So, you know, in the midst of a wealth of summer outdoor screenings, you guys have both Top Down and the Zydel drive-ins that we've been speaking about. How do you find that a film or a viewing experience is enhanced by an outdoor setting? Do you think that the film interacts with the surroundings in a way? Or how does it change the experience to watch something outdoors?
Occasionally, the two things come together. It's, you know, we're all, you know, hardcore cinephiles here, so we probably generally prefer our films in a black box with you know, perfect sound and all that kind of stuff.
Absolutely.
But it's so much fun, you know. It's a social event as much as it is a cinematic event, and it's, you know, both the drive-in and Top Down are about as far away from the Northwest Film Center's mission as we get. But it's still film and it's still fun, so we think it's worthwhile.
Absolutely. It creates a party setting, and that's really, it is more event-based versus straight-up film-based content.
Yeah. Do you feel like you're pulling, you know, like the Film Center, like, cinephile audience a little bit out of their shell, getting them into, like, this, you know, rooftop party atmosphere?
I think so. And the programming helps that a little bit, to kind of walk the line to show a classic like Notorious might pull some of them out.
Oh, cool. And then they, you know, realize how great it is.
Exactly. And so
out,
much fun.
Come out,
yeah,
for the cult films.
Yeah.
Awesome. All right. Well, thank you very much. And I just wanted to ask quickly where people can go to find more information about Top Down or Wes's World or any of your summer programming that you guys are offering now.
They can always head on over to nwfilm.org. We have information about all our programming there, and also all of our activity at the School of Film.
Thank you guys very much for speaking with me. Is there anything you'd like to add? Or
see you on the rooftop.
Yeah,
awesome.
Come hang out with us.
Cool. Well, hopefully some listeners will be interested in doing so. I've been speaking with Thomas Phillipson and Nick Bruno of the Northwest Film Center. Their Top Down Rooftop Cinema Series begins tonight at 7 p.m. atop the Downtown Hotel Deluxe parking garage with Alfred Hitchcock's Notorious. Nick and Thomas, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thanks, Dan.
Thanks so much.
Your continued patronage is very, very welcome.
Yes, thanks, Jen. You're listening to The Film Show on KBOO. I'm SW Conser, and we've been on the road today visiting drive-in theaters around the Northwest. We're going to tell you a little bit more about upcoming film events in a moment, but first, Natalie has a special guest right here in the studio, and she's going to tell you about one very big event coming up next month.
That's right. Josh Leek is joining us from the 2014 Portland Film Festival, which will be rolling next month. And this is not a typical festival. It's an interactive event, sometimes referred to as a storytellers festival. So welcome, Josh.
Hi, Natalie. Thanks for having me.
What are the highlights of this year's festival?
Wow. Well, we have over 128 films. We're opening up with a world premiere of Haley Joel Osment's romantic comedy called Sex Ed, which stars several cast members of SNL and other well-known actors. Are coming up, and they're going to celebrate independent film with us Portlanders and let us see their film first. So it's a world premiere. We're pretty excited about that.
And because this is an interactive festival and there's an opportunity for people to get involved, what are some of those opportunities and how can people find out more?
Well, if you ever thought you had a great idea to write a movie, you can come out and take one of our 14 classes, events, or attend a panel. And even the Sunday of our festival, we have a very well-known, he is a script consultant for a gentleman by the name of Will Smith, who everyone knows, and he's going to come in, tell us how to structure your film and make it into a real Hollywood independent film. So we're pretty excited about that.
So it's an opportunity for education then as well.
Exactly. So, you know, we don't even have opportunities for screenwriting, but also for acting. We've partnered with SAG-AFTRA and are having over 9 acting classes. So if you think you could be an actor, you can come out and try that too.
How do people sign up? What's the website?
It's portlandfilmfestival.com.
That's pretty straightforward.
Yeah, it's pretty easy.
And the festival opens...
August 26th, opening night at Crystal Ballroom. We're also screening a local film as a second opening night film called Glenna. It's about a 35-year-old single mom that struggles with life and becomes a professional cage fighter. And that'll be screening at the Mission Theater. And Haley's sex ed will be at the Crystal Ballroom.
Thank you, Josh, for that preview. And next month on the film show, we'll have more information about the Portland Film Festival. So this was a nice little preview. And for more information, you can visit their website at portlandfilmfestival.com or our website, The Film Show.
And now before we go today, let's hear again from Jen Chavez with this month's calendar of local film events.
At the Hollywood Theater on July 26th, the Portland Latino Gay Pride Festival will present the documentary Trans Visible, Bambi Salcedo's story, following the life of the trans Latina activist and community leader. Show begins at 8 p.m. To learn more, visit hollywoodtheater.org or latinogaypridepdx.com. Also at the Hollywood Theater on the 29th, film archivist and historian Dennis Nyback presents The Dark Side of Dr. Seuss, exploring the children's writer's 1940s U.S. Army career making gung-ho propaganda and army training films. Show starts at 7:30 p.m. and will be presented in 16mm. More info can be found at hollywoodtheater.org. On July 31st at 7:30 p.m., also at the Hollywood, catch A Cosmic and Earthly History of Recorded Music, According to Mississippi Records, a film and talk presentation with Mississippi Records proprietor Eric Isaacson. You may remember that he and I discussed the program on last month's episode of The Film Show. More details can be found at hollywoodtheater.org, and you can find the podcast of our interview at kboo.fm/thefilmshow. The Clinton Street Theater is celebrating its 100th anniversary this year. Unfortunately, it shares an anniversary with a sad event, the beginning of World War I. So the theater is commemorating with the presentation of 3 never-before-seen in the U.S. miniseries, 37 Days on August 4th, Royal Cousins at War on the 7th, and Churchill's First World War on the 8th. More details can be found at cstpdx.com. On Wednesday, August 6th at 7 p.m., the Northwest Film Center presents An Evening with Ben Pop. The co-founder of the Experimental Film Festival Portland and past guest on The Film Show will present a collection of his short live-action and animated experimental works, predominantly hand-processed on 16mm. Details can be found at nwfilm.org. August 6th marks the beginning of the submission season for the Northwest Film Center's Portland International Film Festival, which happens in February of 2015. Accepting submissions of feature and short-length narrative, experimental, documentary, or animated films. More info at nwfilm.org. Friday, August 15th marks the entry deadline for POWFEST, or the Portland, Oregon Women's Film Festival, to take place in March of 2015. Films must be directed or co-directed by women and can be of any length, style, or genre. Details can be found at POWFEST.org. On Monday, August 18th at 6:30 p.m., KBOO joins in on the Clinton Street Theater's centennial with an anniversary celebration of its own, a presentation of the documentary Woodstock. 45 years old, just like KBOO. More info is available at cstpdx.com or at our website at kboo.fm. That about wraps up the film calendar. Enjoy and have a great month, everybody.
Thank you, Jen. You've been listening to a special drive-in theater edition of The Film Show on KBOO. I'm guest host Natalie Butto.
And I'm SW Conser. Thanks to our guests today, Brian Francis and Al Blodgett of the 99W Drive-In Theater, as well as Thomas Phillipson and Nick Bruno of the Northwest Film Center.
Thanks also to Josh Leake from the Portland Film Festival, and thank you to the Oregon Media Production Association for their support and collaboration, and thanks to all of our listeners on the radio and on the web. The audio for this show will be available later today on our page, kboo.fm/thefilmshow.
Now stay tuned for an afternoon of music on your homegrown Portland radio station.
And we just wanted to run one credit past you about a piece that we aired earlier this morning. The interview with Karen Nussbaum of Working America came to us from Southpaw's radio show, which airs on WPRR AM and FM in Grand Rapids, Michigan.
And you're tuned to Community Radio, KBOO, Portland, 90.7 FM, 91.9 FM Hood River in the Gorge, 104.3 FM Philomath and Corvallis. Our translator IDs, K220HR Hood River and K282BH Philomath. This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from the Garden Spout, specializing in indoor gardening equipment, including horticultural lighting, environmental control, hydroponic and organic nutrients, and pest control. Garden Spout is located at 4532 Southeast 63rd, just south of Foster in Portland. Information at 503-788-GROW.